Hi, hello again, folks, and happy hump day. And you know what that means. It's another Wednesday, and it's time for Racing Refresh Happy Hour. This is episode 12. This is Chaotic Kansas. I am Logan Loganity Morris, whatever's humanly left of him. Of course, I don't do this alone, we thank God for that. I have what I consider to be the best co-host in the business. See what I did there? I'm talking about the best man himself, the Senior Wheel Open guru, Colin Best. I hope you enjoyed all those puns, brother. Come on in.
It's a hearty Omaha to you, Mr. Logan Morris. I'm going to steal your thunder real quick. But it was a fantastic weekend on motorsport. We had F1 and a great, fantastic NASCAR race, which we'll all break down over the next hour. IndyCar this week, NASCAR this week. A lot to talk about. This is probably one of the most exciting weeks of the NASCAR season, as it is throwback week. And It's NASCAR's 75th anniversary. There's one more driver to be revealed on that list. Any guesses to who that might be? I'm pretty sure it's someone near and dear to your heart, Mr. Logan.
If it's not old seven-time Superman Jimmy Johnson, then pee on a fire calling a dog. I don't know anything. But we're not doing this alone. We have our lovely producer, the woman that keeps us straight and keeps me straight on a personal level. And pray for her, folks. Living with me, she takes a chance. So let's bring her in. The wonderful, the beautiful, always plenty to talk about, plenty to say, Peggy Lord. I'll tell you, I can't get a word in edgewise.
I'm only here. I lost my train of thought.
Fantastic.
I'm only here to carry on the legacy that is.
Oh my God.
Chase Race a lot.
We're still doing this?
We're still doing this.
And that's the only reason I'm here.
Look, you have alienated so many people. Peggy, with your Chase Race a lot obsession, we can't even get Adam to show up anymore. This is quite ridiculous. No, actually, Adam is busy with some personal matters. All good, by the way. Nothing horrible. Just busy, preoccupied with other things. He will be returning to the show approximately in 2 weeks. We'll see how that goes. But he will be back, and No Stupid Questions will be back, and that Canadian son of a biscuit-eating bulldog will be back. Love him. So with that, Peggy, any other words? Hopefully you can move on from this obsession by the end of this episode. Any other words before Colin and I get this mother going?
No, and I will not move on.
All right. Well, we look forward to the next Chase Race a lot update next week. And I guess you're praying for a Cars 4, because if not, we're stuck here.
I still haven't seen Cars 3.
Wow.
I asked her if she wanted to watch a movie last night. She said, I won't make it through a movie. I'm too sleepy.
He's in the movie.
Yeah.
How can you meme something and you haven't seen it?
how can you guys? I've never seen the movie, but I still knew what he looked like. And you guys, but that's the 24. But it's Chase Race a lot.
Yeah, it was during his like rookie year or something like that.
Yeah, that's because we were trying to shoehorn Dale's replacement at that point. Anywho, we have a show to do. Ryan Hill, how are you, brother? My fiance is obsessed with movies she's never seen. It's really, she has Cars derangement syndrome.
Hey man, you could be on the Taylor Swift bandwagon over in the best household right now.
Hey. Hey, I'm a little T-Swizzle, I'm not bad with T-Swizzle if we're throwing it back. You know, that our song is a slam of screen doors. Don't want to get copyrighted, so I'm going to stop there. All right, anywho, for all you, what's the Swifties? For all you Swifties out there, hope you enjoyed it. All right, we got to talk some NASCAR, damn it. So, Peggy, we'll see you. You'll be back to give your picks. But now it's time. Ryan, it's time for a little weekend review. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Looky there. I'm surprised she didn't put the picture back up, to be honest with you. So, GMS Racing, you know, they're up in the air right now because of the Legacy Motor Club news. Last week, we talked about them going to Toyota. The GMS is kind of murky right now, but it didn't stop them from getting a bona fide dub. Grant Enfinger won the truck race. Let's touch on that for a second. Number one, what'd you think of Grant Enfinger getting the dub? And is there any way the GMS stays in the Chevy camp while Legacy's in the Toyota camp? Because Gallagher was pretty murky on how that's going to work.
Yeah, for Grant Enfinger, it's good. He's one of the truck journeymen, veteran drivers in the truck series. It's always great for him to get a win. He's won, I think now he has three consecutive seasons with a win under his belt. So good for him as well. Moving to GMS and staying Chevy, you know, there's a lot of now Chevy money up in the air. Kyle Busch alluded to it in an interview at Kansas that, you know, people are going to take that money and diversify around. You know, Hendrick could get it, RCR, Trackhouse, and it can go on down from the Xfinity Series to the Truck Series. It wouldn't surprise me if GMS stays as a Chevy. It certainly wouldn't surprise me if they moved to Toyota because of the tie-ins at the Legacy Motor Club. If they do make the switch to Toyota, I think Toyota would back them more if they were in their camp, because I think Toyota as a whole puts, even if you're an underfunded team running Toyota, they will throw money at you just to be on the track. And I think that's one of the good things about Toyota being in NASCAR, is they're probably one of the most dedicated manufacturers in all the three sports. I mean, Ford sort of pulled out of the Xfinity Series when Penske decided not to run it. And I mean, that was their top tier team, Ford was, and they're not there anymore. Chevy has JR Motorsports and Toyota has Joe Gibbs, obviously, but having more Toyotas in the field for in the top three series for NASCAR, it helps them develop drivers, especially moving on to the Cup Series. So for me, I think moving to Toyota would be a no-brainer, but I wouldn't be surprised if they can do Chevy as well. I mean, we've seen it in IndyCar where Chip Ganassi can run Chevy in the Cup Series, but he can also run Honda in the IndyCar Series. It's that weird relationship. I don't know if GMS is going to have that like Chip did, but it wouldn't surprise me if he did.
It wouldn't stun me either. Ryan says he misses Penske in the Xfinity Series. I know you do, Ryan. Ryan is a Penske guy through and through. I'll give him that. We disagree on how to spell cat if you spotted us a C in the A, but I'll give him credit. He is a captain man through and through. I think it's possible that you have one foot in one camp, one in the other. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't even know if Gallagher does at this point, but I think it's possible. As far as Grant Enfinger getting a win goes, Grant's one of the good guys. Always has been. Easy to root for. I know that's a cliche statement, but people that are genuinely guys that are easy to root for, and Grant Enfinger is one of them, and I felt that way before Richard Petty had any association with GMS. So it isn't my bias kicking in. Good for Grant and good for everybody in that camp, because there probably has been a lot of stress these last couple weeks. There's probably rumors are flying around the shop and social media and all that sort of thing. So good for Grant Enfinger getting the win. Let's see if that kind of kicks GMS into high gear. They haven't been off to the best of seasons start in the Truck Series either. We know about their struggles as Legacy Motor Club in the Cup Series. But let's get to it. I don't want to make anybody wait any longer. didn't want to make anybody wait any longer. Guess what, Mr. Best? Denny Hamlin, let's say he passed Kyle Larson on the last lap to win in Cup, when the reality probably is he gave him the old rattle the cage, and the cage got, in fact, rattled like a hyper dog in a shelter, because Kyle Larson went into the wall and it's created a bit of hubbub. Now, I'll go ahead and give my thoughts. Do I have any issue with this move on the last lap? No, I don't. I don't have any issue. You're going for the win. That's what you're paid to do. Denny Hamlin was closing in on a one-year streak of not winning. However, let's play a little devil's advocate, shall we? For the man that has preached on his podcast, Action Judgmental, about respect and kind of getting back to the old school way, him and Kyle Busch have talked about it at length in various forms, I can understand why Mrs. Larson has tweeted out actions hypocritical. I can understand that. I think it is hypocritical. I don't give a damn. It doesn't bother me. You should do everything you should do to win the race. I mean, that's what you're paid to do. But, and I know you're a Denny Hamlin guy through and through, Mr. Best, which it's a shame that you have that plight, but hey, it is what it is. We're still here for you. You accept me with my cerebral palsy, I accept you with your Denny Hamlin fandom. So tell all to me, Mr. Best, is it at least fair to say this, that it's a little hypocritical on Denny Hamlin's part?
I guess it depends. So,
here now, we go. This is good. He's also a fan
of that. But if you do see the head-on shot of them coming off turn two, it did look like Larson hit the log and then came back off the wall into Denny, and Denny was there. You know, I don't blame Denny for racing hard. Kyle Larson, if the roles are reversed, would be in the same exact spot. If you don't think he would, just think back to Chicagoland in 2019 with Kyle Busch. Kyle Larson would be driving aggressive. And this day of win and you're in, you know, for Denny Hamlin, this could be his only win of 2023. We saw last year, Martin Truex Jr. didn't even make the playoffs. He didn't even win a race last year, but he didn't make the playoffs. So who's to say that we're at, 12 races in and we have 9 different winners? Who's to say that Denny, if we have, you know, about 8, let me do math here, about 8 more winners, or so to say, who's to say that Denny Hamlin would be out of the playoffs without a win? So, I mean, he had to do what he had to do to get in the playoffs. Certainly, could it be cleaner? Absolutely. But, you know, I'm more of an old school NASCAR traditionalist where it comes to Rubens racing. It's okay to trade paint, and if it's on the last lap, anything goes, as long as it's clean. And anything I could find, Kyle never had a issue with the move after the race. He said, I think it was more hard racing, and it was more of an issue after the race on pit road, which we'll get to later. In all this hubbub with that, I kind of forgot about the last lap incident with Denny Hamlin and Larson, to be honest with you. I had no problems with it. It was very hard racing. It was entertaining throughout the entire race, how hard people were racing each other, how close people were racing together. Juxtapose that with the F1 race where it just meh. Kind of meh. And I'm an open wheel guy, and it was just meh. So to me, this was probably one of the best races of the year. Hats off to Denny Hamlin getting his first win of the year. And now we have another potential great race coming up this weekend. But Ryan saying rubbing is racing, but just Denny better not cry if someone moves him for a win. But I mean, yeah, Denny has, you know, been a little in the past. Emotions have been hurt, feelings have been hurt when the roles are reversed. But I feel like who hasn't in NASCAR history been upset when someone has been moved out of the way for a win. I don't think there's anyone really that you can point to in the 75 years of NASCAR who's just been, okay, you know, it happens. It just, you know, I'm okay. I got wrecked for the win. I don't think anyone's ever okay if they got wrecked for the win. And we got to realize these guys get paid to win races. And if you don't win races, I'll go with the great KFB says, second place sucks. Second sucks. And if the my spirit animal, Ricky Bobby, said, second is just the first loser.
Second place is just the first loser. And it is. Look, I understand it. I get it. I do. However, I will, again, I do want to point out, it is hypocritical to a certain degree, in my view, that he and Kyle Busch are the two biggest ones that come to mind that talk about the respect factor being gone in racing, and they talk about it in a negative fashion. And then all of a sudden, you know, Denny Hamlin does what Denny Hamlin did. And I'm, again, not mad at it. Yes, you should, you know, frankly, as much as I don't like the guy, we should all take a page out of Joey Logano's book. Joey Logano doesn't make any – he doesn't make any bones about it. He is there to attempt to win the race or finish as best he can. And he'd sell his own mama down the river if it meant getting a W. At least you're honest about it. And so I'm not too upset. But, yeah, it is a little bit – it does strike a different chord when on Action Detrimental every other week it feels like Denny Hamlin was talking about the lack of respect of where this – sport currently is. So as Ryan said, you can't preach a drama and go out and do it. So yeah, as long as Denny understands the turn about a fair play, but you do make a good point, Colin, in the sense of like, no one's going to be happy if they get wrecked going for the win. No one's going to be thrilled about that. No one has gotten out of the car and go, hey, we almost had it. Like, that's not how it works. So I get it. I do understand it, but let's look at it this way. Denny, because you're right. Anytime you win, and I think sometimes we as fans, media members, whatever you want to call us, we forget that any win could be your last win. It could be. It very likely isn't, you'd assume, but it could be. So you got to do what you can do to get every single one of them. Because, I mean, it doesn't. You look at every great icon the sport has ever seen, there came a day where they suddenly just stopped winning. And we don't know why or rhyme or reason or, you know, let's be honest and call a spade a spade. Jimmy Johnson stopped winning out of nowhere because he had three wins the year before. He had three wins and then he went winless his last 3 years and is currently winless in two starts with Legacy. Out of nowhere. We know Richard Petty went his final eight seasons winless. Now, Jeff Gordon did happen to get a win his second to last full-time start, but all kidding aside, he'd stopped overall winning. He'd been consistent, of course, but not Tony Stewart. The list goes on and on. You never know. We were beginning to wonder until a few weeks ago, had we seen Martin Truex's last Cups points paying win? You just don't know. A guy we're going to talk about in full here in a moment, Ryan Newman. Ryan Newman came out gangbusters, and there's nothing wrong with an 18-win career. Nothing wrong with that at all. He's on the 75 greatest drivers list, and I think he deserves that. But when he started out piling up those wins, you'd have thought it had been a lot more than 18. So I'm not knocking Ryan Newman. We'll talk more about him later. I'm putting in perspective for you folks that everybody stops winning suddenly, and we don't realize it until we kind of go a year or two and go, you know what? They haven't won in a while. And so I get it. Yes, I think, Ryan, I think you're correct, but I also think that you got to race it like it's your last win because it might be your last win. I assume it isn't for Denny Hamlin, but we don't know. We don't know, and we never will know. Anywho, let's talk some other things about Kansas. Kansas had a lot going on. We, of course, will talk about the fight soon. But overall, I want to talk about, before we move on to F1, what do you think of the overall race? Kansas is quickly becoming, I think, a favorite on the schedule for fans, media, drivers alike. What do you think of the overall race, Colin, besides the finish? I thought Kansas brought it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we went to Dover, had a great race, went to Talladega, had a great race. Kansas was another great race, and you kind of felt like at moments during the Kansas race, it kind of felt like it was 2022 all over again, where through the course of the 400 miles of race, whatever race it was, you had no idea who was going to win this race. And it really only shaped up until the last maybe 30 to go, when it was Larson, Byron, and Hamlin all competing for the win towards the last 30. And then Larson and Hamlin eventually pulled away and then settled it between them two. We'll do some parallels to F1 real quick. I had both on at the same time because that's kind of my job to watch F1, kind of my job to watch open wheel around these parts. And I got to tell you, if you were watching them side by side, you would be more entertained watching the NASCAR race based on pure racing and the F1 race based on pure strategy, which we'll get into later. But I got to tell you, if you thought that, if you look back and go, what is NASCAR great at? You can circle that Kansas race and say that this is what NASCAR is. This is what makes it exciting. This is what new fans would love to see on a week-by-week basis. And we're going to Darlington, which we could get another all-time classic race. I guarantee you, 10 years down the road, we'll look at this Kansas race and think it was one of the greatest races in NASCAR history, probably. Just the last lap action, the amount of passing. We had 33 lead changes, which I think Mike Joyce said that was the most lead changes on a mile-and-a-half track in NASCAR history. NASCAR is doing something right. Now, if we took the stage racing away and that Kansas race played out, it could have been a whole entirely different story. We may have never gotten that finish. But NASCAR hit it on the head. This was an A-plus race for sure, and it gets you so excited for Darlington coming up. Even if you weren't excited for Darlington, or if you already were, you're going to be more excited for this weekend.
I got to agree with you. Look, we're hitting a good stretch here, folks. I hope you're enjoying the race, and we're seeing on Sundays for sure, because we're hitting a good stretch after a bit of a lull, after some races that it would take some patience and take some diehard fandom to enjoy. These last several weeks have left good vibes, and we certainly saw a fantastic show at Kansas, and hopefully Darlington, the throwback race, can continue to provide that. Feels like everybody's hitting their stride, and it feels like we are benefiting as the viewers of everybody kind of getting comfortable, and we now have a lot of experience relatively with this next-gen car, and it just feels like even the racing for 30th this week was good racing. This was one of the most complete races, I think, in recent memory, if not ever, in terms of you could find something to enjoy if you're watching the battle for the lead, if you're watching the battle for 30th, it didn't matter. There was good things to enjoy. Whatever clicked with NASCAR in Kansas, we got to find that in more places, because this was an unsung special race, if that makes sense. Like, it's not going to be a championship definer, but like you said, it's one we're going to talk about, especially when we talk Kansas history, and we go, man, that was one of the best we've ever seen. Anywho, we got to get moving along. Let's talk F1. Of course, you're the senior open wheel guru for a reason, so I'm not going to take a whole lot from you here. But Max Verstappen, stop me if you've heard it before, he won. And he won from the pole. He did his thing. Break it down for us, DX style, Mr. Best.
Yeah, so Max Verstappen seems to be running on all 8 cylinders, even though there's 6 cylinders in an F1 car. But euphemisms aside, this was certainly, out of all the races so far, this had to be the most lackluster of all the races this year in the Formula One series. And to be honest with you, the season hasn't really started off that great in terms of close racing. They've all been very much strategy things, but F1 has quickly turned into that over the past 20 years, and it's going to be continuing to do that in the future. But Max Verstappen played the strategy game right. He went long on some tires, played the long game. Only did 2 stops for the entire race, and then he got his 4th win on American soil, and he extended his points lead a little bit above Sergio Perez, which is his teammate. I don't know where F1 is going to be in a couple weeks. I assume they're going to be heading back to Europe to do another Grand Prix. Excuse me for not being all caught up on Formula One. It was a big news day in IndyCar, which we'll hit on later. But overall, I mean, when you have such a great race at Kansas, and literally, I'm supposed to be watching Formula One. This is what I do for a racing refresh. But I could not turn away from the NASCAR race at Kansas. I just could not. And I know they ran up against each other head to head, and this is going to be the first time in about probably four or five times that NASCAR and F1 are going to run head to head this year. But if NASCAR keeps doing what they've done at Kansas this week, NASCAR's not going to, you know, ever be dethroned as the popular motorsport in America. And the TV rating showed it, as NASCAR had like 2.3 million viewers on Sunday and F1 only had like 1.3 million viewers. I mean, there's a million off, but more people tuned in to see NASCAR on FS1 versus F1 on ABC, on pure ABC. Everyone gets ABC, but everyone doesn't get FS1, and NASCAR still beat them head to head.
Yeah, NASCAR certainly reigns supreme, and that is not a knock towards F1 at all. They are a growing, wonderful motorsport, and we are thrilled with that. We want every motorsport to thrive, not just survive. We want them to thrive. But NASCAR certainly reigns supreme, and if they keep putting out that type of product, their reign here in the States is long from over, folks, if that keeps up. We'll see what happens. But we got to keep moving it along, because there's one big piece of the Kansas puzzle we haven't touched on, and we'll do that when we do what we're going to do right now, and that is our happy hour headlines. One big part we haven't really talked about with Kansas, Ross Chastain and Noah Gragson, they went fisticuffs. They traded some soup bones. And when I say they traded some soup bones, I mean that Ross Chastain landed a right hook that would have made big George Foreman proud, as that movie is now in theaters, I do believe. They should sponsor us. All right. Frustration is the name of the game when it comes to Ross Chastain in the last year. Pardon me if we cut out there for a moment. Noah Gragson decided that wasn't the case anymore as far as the lack of physicality. Noah Gragson went over, complained about getting fenced, put his hands on Ross's fire suit. And Ross, let's be honest, he brought the hammer. Was to me like, man, that's, you know, that's old school. Drivers have at it. Boys have at it. What'd you think of it?
Man, this was an absolute the slap. When NASCAR posted it on their socials, that you could hear it, and it was a punch that would make Ryan Newman proud. It would make Casey Mears proud. Marcus Ambrose punched Casey Mears at Richmond probably about 10 years ago. Yeah, this was a punch that made Cale Yarborough and Donnie Allison wish their fight was better at the 1979 Daytona 500. I got to be honest, Noah Gragson is not having the best season so far. And to him, I can see his point of view. This has now been two times that Ross Chastain has directly attributed to the end of Noah Gragson's race. This happened at Talladega, and now we're at Kansas. To me, and Denny Hamlin said, I can't remember who said it, but Ross Chastain comes into these things seemingly unscathed or better than he was before. NASCAR is going to use that punch and every single marketing promotion tool that they possibly do for probably the next month or so. They're going to milk the hell out of that punch. You're like, you know what? We have great racing, and you know what? You may see a fight afterwards. This is phenomenal for NASCAR. And Ross Chastain has now become this superstar in the world of NASCAR seemingly almost overnight. I mean, he did the wall ride at, it was the Don't Give F Tour last year, then the wall ride, and everyone was really shocked and amazed by that. And then this year, you know, he's had great runs, but he's had some run-ins with some really popular drivers, a la Kyle Larson, Noah Gregson. You know, he has personality. He's very popular in some NASCAR fan bases or some fan circles right now. To me, this was – if you were watching NASCAR racing, you wanted everything. You wanted good racing, clean racing, wild finish, and you got a fight. This was everything you've ever wanted in a race. And Dale Jr., I saw this on Twitter, a little short of the download. He was like, Ross Chastain is the next superstar. All you got to do is walk through the door. And knowing that NASCAR has had trouble promoting some of its drivers, I can see how this is going to be an issue for them. They're not like F1 where, you know, those drivers are somewhat household names here in America. But Ross Chastain has, if NASCAR plays this right, he will be bigger than Kyle Busch's a villain era. This is something that, you know, if he gets wrecked by somebody at a NASCAR race down the road, every fan would be probably jumping up and down that he was wrecked, and it could be a Jeff Gordon moment winning at Talladega with all the beer cans being thrown on him. People will love to hate him, and they'll hate to see him win. Even if he doesn't win a championship, this is certified. He's now he's our generation's bad guy in NASCAR. It was Kyle Busch through the 2010s. Now in the 2020s, it's Ross Chastain. I have no problems with the fight. I think you did because it's a legacy guy. And, you know, any bad press towards legacy kind of up in the air because they're switching teams. And, oh, my God, how can Richard do this? But – This was the punch heard around the world.
Let me give you my thoughts on it. You know, it's one of those things like, do I want to see fighting in NASCAR? Not really, because of the money involved and you know, if somebody gets hurt, you know, it based on a fight. That's so stupid. It's like when an athlete in football or other stick and ball sports get hurt in a fight. You're like, you didn't even get hurt really doing your job. You got hurt because you lost your temper and scuffled. At the same time, this is good for the sport in terms of press. Now, is this what I want the sport to be? Not necessarily. I'm all for a good screaming match and a nice finger point like Kevin Harvick and Chase Elliott a few years ago and some trash talk. But I like the fact that they kept it to that. And at worst got kind of nose to nose or nose to helmet, I believe was the iconic shot. And so on that front, do I like it? No, because again, I'm worried like, well, what if Ross, you know, what if he breaks his hand off of Noah's jaw? I mean, what if Noah gets his jaw broken? Then great. That's companies have just paid a boatload of money for guys that aren't in the car. That's not a good thing in my view. However, for the sake of press and pub, while maybe not great for Legacy Moto Club, as a sport, I mean, viral moments are a good thing. Viral moments are a good thing. You know, you want the old casual fan or the lapsed eye that maybe hasn't watched NASCAR regularly in a few seasons to go, do you see in that race at Kansas, Noah Gregson and Ross Chastain, they were going at it, man. Here's an interesting tidbit, though. You know, I've watched a lot of different audio angles and the whole nine. Did you see Chase Elliott seem to encourage Noah Gregson to go over there and at the very least give Ross a big piece of the mind? Did you see that? And what are your thoughts on that? I think that speaks to how a lot of people feel in the garage. And I believe that Chase alluded to the fact that, you know, he'd kind of like to, but he really can't because of probably being Chase Elliott. You don't want to take the chance that I'm talking. Because all kidding aside, no disrespect to Ross Chastain and certainly Noah Gregson. If Noah Gregson gets hurt in a fight, it's not as big of a deal as Chase Elliott getting hurt in a fight. So what'd you make of Chase Elliott kind of egging it on?
So he said, quote, someone had to do it. And, you know, the thing about what some of these drivers that I feel like are, you know, because I'm old school, if Josh Chastain was around in the 90s and he did this to Bill Elliott, Ricky Rudd, Earnhardt, you know, gosh, who's the guy's name? Jeremy Mayfield. These guys would have punched Ross Chastain in the face on national television, and not a care in the world would happen. Especially with, you know, if young Kevin Harvick and Ryan Newman certainly wouldn't have a problem punching someone on national TV. But the problem is
he might get the opportunity here.
Which NASCAR, I don't understand, because NASCAR with Chase Elliott gone lost like 18% of its viewership. It was totally over. But think about the marketing things that could happen. If Chase Elliott, old Clyde, NASCAR's most popular driver, socked it to Ross Chastain, NASCAR bad boy, how the internet would entirely just explode. It would be the greatest thing NASCAR's ever done since the 1979 Daytona 500 when 15 million people saw the fight in turn four. This would be just boom. And every, even 10, 15 years now, we'd be talking about Chase Elliott punching Ross Chastain. But the thing is, everyone's seen Ross Chastain now punch somebody. And the thing is, no one's, because I saw Denny Hamlin's face when Bob Hawker showed in the video. And it looks like that now everyone knows that, hey, if I go up to Ross Chastain, I could get knocked out on national TV. And that does not look good for me or my image. So they're probably not going to do anything to Ross Chastain, which is kind of a bummer, because if Chase Elliott punched Ross Chastain and they got into a fight on pit road, it's over. NASCAR is finally would be in the popularity boom that it saw in the 2000s. We have the rivalry. We have, dare I say it, Earnhardt versus Gordon. Dare I say it? I know we're comparing Ross Chastain and Chase Elliott to two of the NASCAR's all-time greats. I get it. I understand it. But that would be the level of intensity that NASCAR fans would see it. But, you know, Earnhardt and Gordon manufactured their rivalry just a little bit. I saw the documentary. I know they did that to sell T-shirts. But the Chase Elliott-Chastain thing would be real. And it would be vitriol. WWE couldn't write a better storyline than the Ross Chastain versus Chase Elliott. I wish, you know, NASCAR drivers stood up for themselves. That's what we saw when we were growing up. They stood up for themselves. And now they don't do that anymore. And I think that hurts the sport just a little bit.
You know, I've got to agree with you. Vince McMahon would be taking notes with his Hershey Highway mustache that he currently sports. So I got to agree with you. I think that I told you what I didn't like about it. Here's what I do like about it. Again, viral moments, huge for NASCAR. Number two, this sport needs to be policed by the people that are participating in it in an athletic capacity, aka the drivers need to police the sport. That should not have ever changed, because if you got to come to work with each other every week, either you got to put them in their place. And I've been a little not surprised, but it has been a very stiff confirmation of we're in a different era at the kid gloves that Ross Chastain gets treated with by the other drivers, not named Noah Gragson. Plenty of people have complained about Ross Chastain. Noah Gragson is the only one with the, how do I want to put this? Let's throw it back to Mick Foley. Testicular fortitude to go up and he was attempting to do something about it. You know, Denny Hamlin has said a lot of things. Pretty much everybody in the garage at some point has said something about Ross Chastain this last year. And the only person that had the testicular, the fortitude, the gumption, the wherewithal to go, you know what, I've had it, is to his credit, for better or worse, Noah Gragson. And I'm not surprised by that. I didn't like some of those comments that he made to SiriusXM about, well, we're not the fastest this year. We're getting, you know, we get lapped about twice a race, so I'll have my opportunity. That's not quite the flex you think it is. I mean, I appreciate your being candid, but not quite the flex you think it is when you're just talking about, well, I'm going to get lapped about twice a race from him, so I'll have my opportunity to get him back. I hope that it's over. And what I mean by that is, the one thing I think this generation is bad at compared to the old school, I mean, there's several, but when it comes to the rivalry, I think the older guys knew when, all right, this has gone too far. All right, there's no need to go this. I don't want this to be a. I mean, all kidding aside, as cool as it was to see, the Chase Elliott Denny Hamlin thing went too far. It became a pissing contest of we're just ruining multiple cars, multiple weeks. You know what I mean? Like, at some point, we're just, you know, at some point, we're just ruining a ton of people's days that, and we're the ones that just happen to drive the car. And yet these employees bust their ass all week. And here we are just ruining things. So to me, I just hope that everyone is aware of the line. If Noah wants to take one more shot at it, more power to him. But I just hope it doesn't go too far, because while entertaining, the sport's about racing at the end of the day, and let's hope we see a lot of that. Okay, let's keep moving along. So no penalties are being given on that. I like that call. Speaking of men that are not afraid to punch people in the face, old Ryan Newman, the human kidney stone, is back, people. He's tougher than a $2 steak. He's back for Rick Ware Racing, and he's already made some headlines, because if Ryan Newman is anything, for better or worse, he is candid and he is honest. Sometimes I agree with him, sometimes I don't. Let's talk about it. He's back with Rick Ware Racing, you know, the 51 car, obviously due to the Cody Ware situation. They've had to scramble to fill that seat, and he's going to help him out a little bit. But Colin, he's only doing short tracks essentially because he feels the new car isn't safe enough, and he said he don't want to be a crash test dummy, and that's a direct quote, that part is. The rest of them paraphrasing, and you know, it didn't take Ryan Newman long to get right back in the old uniform and do his thing in terms of making a headline with his motor mouth. So I got to ask you, what do you think? Because I appreciate his candor. I always have, whether I've agreed or disagreed with him. But, like, if you think the car is that unsafe, why are you coming back at all? And when you look at the injuries that have happened, it hasn't been on those big tracks that he's avoiding. It's been on, I guess Pocono is kind of a big track for Kurt, but the concussion for Bowman wasn't
Texas.
That's a mile and a half. So it wasn't like high speeds or anything like that. I know, I just think that if you think it's that unsafe, why are you coming back at all? I'm glad he's back. I don't think anyone is a bigger fan on this team of him than I am. But if it's that unsafe in your view, and at this point, I got to tell you, I disagree with him. I think it was last year. I don't think it is now. Why are you coming back at all? What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, outside of the Larson and the Priest hit, that was the most violent hit so far this year, we haven't really seen a guy really back into the wall, which most of these concussions were from rear impacts of the car, because the back of the car wouldn't crush. And we haven't really seen that as a problem this year. Now, granted, he is with SRX, and he may need some more racing opportunities to knock the cobwebs off, to he's doing short tracks across the year. But outside of North Wilkesboro, there's no short track until the playoffs start in August. So I have no idea what his problem is to saying about what the safety of these cars are, the efficacy of these cars, because we haven't seen how they have been tested in 2023. This is Ryan Newman probably making some noise out of nothing, because as of right now, in 2023, we've been to a variety of tracks and no one's been injured so far this year. Now, granted, Kurt Busch was injured in a freak accident at Pocono, then Bowman at Texas last year, and it took him a couple races for him to come back. But Busch has never recovered. He's still inactive and on the sidelines. So, the safety concerns are there. That's probably why you don't see some fight back with Chastain, especially, people taking each other out, because those safety concerns may be warranted. But to me, maybe this is Newman's way of saying the only way I have a competitive shot in any ride, or Rick Ware has a competitive shot in any way, is at a short track where it's mostly on the driver rather than the car. So to me, I think that's his excuse for not being lapped five times at Texas or Indianapolis, or maybe the Indianapolis road course or Atlanta or something.
You know, he didn't rule out doing more. Currently, he's only scheduled, I think, for 3 races, but he's taking it, he said, one day at a time. He's hoping to have fun. All that was kind of lost in the sauce of the critical comments of the next gen car. Again, I respect Newman, even in moments that I disagree with him. You know, he's not ever going to be shy about how he feels, and the sport probably needs more of that, to be honest. Because even in that interview, he kind of says in the right way, blunt enough to get the point across, but not to the point of like, you're going too far. And so he always, I think, has a way of kind of riding that lightning bolt, where he's always been, I think, a little tamer compared to, say, a Kyle Busch, who sometimes will start out with a good point in his, at least in his younger days, I should say, and then kind of go way off the rails of the comments he's making. Kurt Busch as well. I've always felt that Newman is really good at riding that line of, this is blunt, this is stiff, and it's going to get your attention, but not to the point of, all right, now you're just being an ass. So I've always thought he's good at that, and I thought he did it again. And now, again, he's got a background as an engineer, the Boilermaker. And so his comments, you know, do warrant a little bit more attention than, say, others in the garage. You know, he's got the Newman bar. You know, I've had this conversation with others this week, and, you know, people talk about, well, the only reason no one's gotten hurt this year is because they've gotten lucky. Okay, but no one said that with the last-gen car of, well, the only reason they're not getting hurt is because they got lucky. Luck is always involved in not getting hurt. When you're going at these speeds and wrecking on these tracks, and Ryan Newman got lucky in 2020 that he's alive. Ryan Newman got lucky. People talk about, well, if it was a driver's side hit, he would be in serious trouble. Well, that's probably true, but what are ifs? I mean, if this was Coke, it wouldn't be water. But it's not. But it wasn't a driver's side hit. So I just don't like the narrative. I think it's unfair to NASCAR to say with this next-gen car, they're getting lucky. That's why no one's getting hurt. Well, but everyone's getting lucky. People have gotten lucky for years. Luck's always been involved. People were getting lucky before the tragedy of Dale Sr. Richard Petty is lucky to be alive. Have you seen some of his horrific crashes?
He almost flew out of a car at Darlington.
I just don't like the, well, it's not because the car is any better this year. It's because they're getting lucky. Maybe it's both. Maybe they've made some good changes, because hook or crook, no one's getting hurt. And if no one's getting hurt, then it's doing its job. Now, I understand safety should always be improved. That isn't, please don't mistake those comments, folks. But we should give NASCAR some credit for the fact that so far this car works this year. Last year was a step back, no doubt. But this car, I think, is working this year. I'll give you the final word on that, Colin. What say you?
Yeah, I think this car is working, and the safety concerns have really just died down on these cars. I assume we're probably going to have a wreck or so, you know, in the future, especially when you go back to Atlanta and Daytona and Talladega again, and Michigan and some of these higher speed tracks. We're going to think about safety as being an issue. But to be honest with you, out of the racing we've seen at Talladega and Daytona this year and Atlanta, drivers are driving like safety hasn't been an issue so far in 2023. Things are looking up. There are problems with the next gen car, but I think safety is, you know, somewhere not at the top of this list anymore. It's more of an aerodynamic thing is the top of the thing with this car. So, you know, I think this is a lot of something out of nothing. You know, he's taking this one day at a time, and he said, yeah, everyone's taking that comment that he said, but no one's really appreciating that Ryan Newman, one of NASCAR's 75 greatest drivers, a future Hall of Fame, NASCAR Hall of Famer, is going to return and drive the next gen car for the first time in his career. Maybe we get some, because maybe we need to look at Ryan Newman as maybe, hey, this is a guy who created Newman Bar. This is a guy who could help us design future improvements to the next gen car, being his background as a Purdue Boilermaker. So for me, I think this is an all around positive, and it helps Rick Ware Racing get a veteran in the car who has seen success, and they can finally work out what they need to do in the future.
No question about it. I think Ryan Newman being back is good. It adds another star to the field. It helps Rick Ware Racing. It helps NASCAR in terms of improving the next-gen car. And maybe gives Newman a chance to kind of end things on his own terms. We'll see. He was kind of just booted from Jack Roush and hasn't had the chance to write that final chapter. And when a guy has been in the sport that long, I think he kind of deserves it. So we'll see what happens there. Colin, it is the month of May, and the month of May represents the Indy 500. Give me some Indy news. Give me some 500 news. What do you got for me? You're muted, buddy.
So we will have bump day at the Indianapolis 500 this year after much speculation who's going to be that 34 car to give us bump day back at the 500. It's going to be Able Motorsports. Able Motorsports, if you're not familiar, has been involved with Indy Lights and now Indy NXT. Yes, they do not settle races inside of War Games. They settle them on the racetrack, but that's a story for another day. But we have no idea who's going to be driving this car, as Able Motorsports was not did not get a car prepared in time of the rookie orientation program and test days and the Indy test in April. Their first test and their driver to be announced will get his first laps in the car during the rookie orientation practice at Indy 500 Speed Weeks. So that's some good news for them. We have a 34th entry. And heck, who knows? They may make the field and they may bump some famous driver out of his last Indy 500 as Tony Kanaan will make his last Indy 500 this year. But on the other hand, IndyCar news, the month of May officially begins with on-track activity at Indianapolis Motor Speedway with the fifth race of the IndyCar Series 2023 season. As the GMR Grand Prix of Indianapolis. Last year, it was in the rain. Last year, it was an exciting drive by Colton Herta doing a fantastic drift in turn 7 or 8 of the Indy road course. But I'm going to say it's looking to be dry and sunny and hot, and it's a Formula One racetrack, so I'm going to take Romain Grosjean to get his first IndyCar win in his career.
We'll see if that comes true, and maybe we can start stumping the Schwab, if you will, for old Colin Best when it comes to the open wheel stuff. Quick update on the Michigan race. The Michigan race weekend has sold out its infield camping, and that's a really good sign considering that race is in August and that's going to be hot. NASCAR is the brand is on an upswing. The brand is on an upswing, folks. Let's enjoy while we got it. All right, we're running short on time, so let's get to moving. It's time for our weekend preview. So, NASCAR is at Darlington. It's throwback weekend. Colin, quickly, you got any throwback schemes that are sticking out to you that you're liking?
I think I'm going to go with the Ross Chastain throwback to Dale Jarrett, the UPS car. I think there's a lot of Dale Jarrett throwbacks from the Truck Series. The Xfinity Series has one and two in the Cup Series. We're not going to talk about JTG Doherty's. There's is a horrible excuse for a throwback car. Richard Childress kind of, made fun of everybody today. They're like, hey, we're throwing it back to Kyle's first win at RCR. Look at this Lucas Oil car that we're bringing to the track. Isn't it great? To be honest, some of the throwbacks this weekend are nothing compared to what we'll see at North Wilkesboro next week with Kevin Harvick doing the last ride in the 29 and Eric Jones doing the 43 Richard Petty STP car. I think right now my favorite's Ross Chastain. The worst one I will say is Denny Hamlin's. We've seen that same car before a couple years ago. They just made it on the next gen body. Lack of originality. I got to say that's the worst one outside of JTG Doherty. But I do like Chase Elliott's number 9 car. I think that's really cool too.
Yeah, that sticks out to me. Chase Elliott's number 9 is really cool. Of course, I'm partial to the 43. It's going to be all Petty blue, old school style, which is really cool. I think the throwback to Matt Kenseth in the 20 is weird because DeWalt is still on the car and they were like, it's tough to throw back to that, if that makes sense. And so while Matt does deserve his flowers, don't get me wrong, I think the throwback is a little odd. I like the attempt by the 42 to pay tribute to Jimmy Johnson. I do think the 42 should pay more focus to, say, Lee or Kyle, not because of my petty bias, but because of the font possibilities. But cool to see seven-time getting his flowers as well. All right, IndyCar is at the IMS road course. So tell me about it, Colin.
Yeah, so we are kicking off the month of May. Like I described before, this is going to be the inaugural race. You used to have, about maybe 5 or 6 years ago, this was the first practice day of the Indianapolis 500. And they wanted to make the month of May more of this bigger thing in the terms of what we're doing in Indianapolis. So they turned it into the GMR Grand Prix of Indianapolis, which, you know, I don't hate. I think that's a great idea. Last year it was wet, slipping and sliding. We're going crazy. Colton Herta won that race last year. He pretty much dominated in the wet. This year, no chance of rain. Romain Grosjean had his first podium at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's kind of the only really F1 track on the schedule that he goes to. I think he's very comfortable with that startup type of track that he races on, which lends me to believe that he will be the winner of the GMR Grand Prix. But you can catch my full preview of the GMR Grand Prix of Indianapolis on racingrefresh.com this Friday at 9 a.m. That article goes live. So check that out. But we have NASCAR Darlington, the Goodyear 400. So, Logan, what say you? Let's you kick it off. What do you think about the Goodyear 400?
Oh, I mean, throwback. It's my favorite weekend of the year. This is my favorite track. I don't have anything bad to say. Nothing negative. I'll tell you, I'd like to see a 43W, but that's just my own selfish needs. But keep your eye on Denny Hamlin. Keep your eye on Denny Hamlin. And with that, we're running short on time. So let's bring in our producer and my dog, Peggy Lore. Come on in. It's time for Racing Refresh Picks. All right. So, Peggy, do you want to update the scoreboard?
So, Logan won last week again. So here's our current score.
Long live the Alliance. Long live the Alliance.
God.
Oh. So therefore, Colin will pick first.
All right. So last year, this Goodyear 400, I keep saying Southern. Throwback weekend should always be at the Southern 500, not the Goodyear 400. But that's a conversation for another day.
Amen.
Last year, Joey Logano wrecked this person to win his first race in 2022. I think Willie B, mayonnaise incarnated, just boring personality, but he's somewhat of a good race car driver. He will win his, I think, third race of 2023 in that really nice Jeff Gordon throwback. Even though it's kind of not a throwback, it's 75 anniversary scheme. But, you know, hey, tomato, tomato. I think he's going to get it done, and I'm very excited this week. Cousin Carl is going to be in the booth for stage two, so that's another thing too. So William Byron gets the win at Darlington.
So I'm next, and I'm going to take Ryan Newman.
You got to pick a Rick Ware racing car sometime, you know?
The human kidney stone, baby. Try passing him. Try it.
Adam would be next. And out of Adam's list, Ryan Newman was first, but I stole him. So next on his list would be Ty Gibbs.
Yeah. All right, he's going to take Ty Gibbs. So I believe that means I'm going to bring up the rear because I'm going through thrice. I'm like Matt Foley. I'm thrice divorced. No, I'm kidding. Saturday Night Live reference, people. Anywho, I'm trying to keep this dub streak going, so it's Darlington. So let's go, Denny Hamlin, old Daddy Dennis. I think that's my pick. Let's see if he can make it three for me. And look, no disrespect to old cousin Concrete Carl, Mr. Best, but he's a B-lister compared to who they got sitting in stage one.
Kyle Petty.
Kyle Petty.
I want
you're
the
really
ring.
Gonna say I, Kyle Petty
I want
is
the,
better
I want the ring.
Than cousin Carl. What the,
what
the
ring.
Hell are you talking about? Oh my God.
I want the ring. I want the ring.
I'm not wearing it right now anyway.
Kyle Petty may be on NASCAR's list of the 75 worst drivers in NASCAR history, but cousin Carl is on the 75 best. All right.
Well, hey, Kyle Petty's got more wins than Ryan Blaney.
I mean, he almost did try to kill Kenny Irwin at Charlotte in like 95, 96 or something. Remember that? Just, and people were like talking about Brett, Bubba Wallace was so bad, but then Kyle Petty was like, yeah, it's bad too. But hey, don't remember me almost killing Kenny Irwin at the, no, sorry, not Kenny Irwin, Davey Allison at the Winston All-Star race.
The one hot night. Yeah, that was tough. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, but if you're going to talk about, if you're going to talk about bad-ish Petty drivers, though, to be fair, Petty was driving for Felix Sabatis in that car. Christian Fittipaldi would probably always kind of rank high on that list. That didn't go well. Anywho, B-lister compared to Kyle, B-lister compared to cousin Carl. Great to see him back. Don't get me wrong. And, like, there's just one man that really matters in that booth, and it's not Austin Bell from Dawsonville. I'm talking, of course, about the King. But anywho... Anywho, we got to wrap it up. We got to get to closing time. Bailey, stop. Anywho, gosh, my final words are my dog has lost all patience with this. So, Colin, it's your final words.
So, I just got breaking news from Jeff Golotkin. Did you know Kyle Larson has a podcast?
I had not a damn idea.
Okay. So, yeah, Kyle Larson has a podcast, and he said, quote, Ross Chastain, quote, got the potential to be more popular than Chase Elliott, end quote. Can you believe that? Kyle Larson said Chastain could be more popular than current NASCAR most popular driver, Chase Elliott. I got to be honest with you. I can see it. I can totally see it. Only if NASCAR markets him correctly. And if they do so, we got Intimidator 2.0, baby. Don't matter about the championships. Don't matter about the wins. You see Ross Chastain coming behind your mirror, you may get punched in the face or spun out going into turn two at Talladega, a la Noah Gregson. So, you know, it's been a good week. I'm excited. NASCAR Throwback Weekend, IndyCar in Indianapolis. No F1 this week, so I don't have to watch Max Verstappen dominate and stink up a race. But I got to be honest with you, it's been another great show. We're 2 minutes over. Vince may be yelling at me from behind gorilla position right now, but hey, you know,
damn it,
he's not here.
Damn it,
they're over. But hey, also, by the way, Backlash at Puerto Rico, really good stuff, WWE. So with that, I'm done. We'll see you guys next week.
We'll see you next week. Yeah, throwing it back. Speaking of throwing it back, let's throw it back to Peggy Lore for her final words.
Ross Chastain may someday be most popular. And Ryan Blaney will always be number one in my heart. But most popular will always be Chase Race-A-Lot.
I knew it.
And that's all I have to say.
The Dawsonville pool room is quaking at all this potential news. So we'll see how that plays out. And we'll see how it all goes. But we hope that you enjoy your Throwback Weekend. Goodyear 400. Looks like it's going to be some great weather. Let's also enjoy the celebration of these great drivers that are getting together this weekend. That's pretty cool. That's pretty, pretty cool. And when they're gone, folks. So let's enjoy them. And let's hope and pray that every one of them on the 75 list that's healthy and able are able to make the trip and enjoy themselves and be represented. Hope you have a great weekend. Hope you enjoy your mother this Sunday. Find some time for that. So happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. You know, no matter your view on your mother, you wouldn't be here without her. So give her a call. Tell her you love her. With that, we'll see you next week when we throw it back big time style at Darlington. I'm out of here.